The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. Austin, Texas. Hey, girl, hey. Welcome back to my weekly podcast, Taste of Taylor. I know I have been shoving St. Bart's content down your motherfucking throats. Earlier this week, we actually finally put out our video recap on Patreon, patreon.com/thetaylorstrekashow. If you are a VIP, you have access to this video. And honestly, not to toot my own horn, but it's fucking amazing. I am married to a photographer, videographer, editor. She's a jack of all production trade. So when I tell you that our VIP video content on The Taylor Strecker Show is fire, I am not exaggerating. I mean, honestly, I don't know why we weren't nominated for Oscars for some of the filmography that we have. It's like if a travel show and The Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip had a baby. You get like a cohesive breakdown of the island, hotels, restaurants, where to be, where to avoid, beaches to go to. I gave you guys the review that I wish I had at my fingertips. So you got that portion of it. But then you also have a behind the scenes of our honeymoon, aka tourneymoon. Oh, and also, I danced to Hava Nagila on a table. And Tate was trying to get me to put it in feed in a reel on my Instagram. And I was like, I love you for loving me, for embarrassing myself. But like, it's one thing to like have it on a Patreon video. It's another to like let it live in feed for any Tom, Dick, or Harry to watch, okay? I'm strong, but I'm not that strong. So anyway, the point is that we have been inundating you with St. Bart's content, whether you wanted it or not. But no, I'm not here for a solo podcast to keep rubbing St. Bart's shit in your face. Because that's not my brand, baby, okay? It was very weird to like look back at the St. Bart's video that we just put out for Patreon because I don't know her. And by her, I mean me, okay? I don't know the body confidence. Like, she is easy, breezy, beautiful cover girl. My brand is unraveling because I used to be rich, but I'm not rich, but I'm not willing to give up the identity of rich, rich woman. I was like, sorry, but perfectly tan. No tan lines. Who is not? I was wearing bikinis with straps, yet no tan lines. I was walking around and dancing and willing to be on camera in a bikini? Who is she? I was loving my wife and we didn't get into one fight. And then my friends came to stay with us and we had the best time ever. And I had nobody annoyed me. I had no complaints. I was only having the best time ever. Even when we lost power in our villa, I was still like, LOLOL, life is grand. Like literally someone could have shat on my head and I would have been like, glorious. Nothing could get me down on that trip. Okay. I was feeling myself. My outfits were on point, but also it was like effortless. Like, do you know how hard everything is for me every second of my life? And it made me realize that no, money cannot buy you happiness, but it can get you pretty damn close. But anyway, my point is, I was not of my body on this trip. I was not of this earth. I was a Delulu queen, and it felt amazing. But I'm your relatable best friend. And so we are done with the perfection portion of this TED Talk. So even though it was really hard to leave St. Bart's, and even though everything, I was like untouchable there and had the best time ever, it was like kind of refreshing to step off the island of St. Bart's and into the airport in St. Martin and get dick slapped across the face. I was like, ha, I'm home, home sweet home. I know what, I'm uncomfortable. I'm miserable. Just what I was looking for, to feel alive again. Recently, for whatever reason, I have been a stickler at the gates about your group letter, okay? It means something. Without order, we have anarchy. And maybe I've been feeling this way because for the last handful of flights we've been on, for whatever reason, we've been the first group. But we flew out to LA and we travel business because it was for business. So we were like Mosaic. Oh. I also realized we've been flying JetBlue a lot lately. Maybe that's why I'm always premium, because JetBlue makes you pay for every single thing you want. It's like, oh, could I actually open up the window? That'll be $50. JetBlue is the most capitalist airline on the face of the planet. But when I'm paying through the nose and I'm reaping the benefits of it, I want to feel special, okay? So the last three times I've flown JetBlue, and I've either paid for like a really expensive seat or extra legroom. So that's why I keep being Group A. When my ass is Group D on Delta or United or wherever the fuck I'm flying, I stand back. I'm in no rush to get on that plane because I'm like, I'm probably not going to get a spot for my suitcase. I'm also at like the fucking back of the plane. So like, I am in absolutely no rush. But when I am Group A and I have paid for that privilege, I want to walk up to the gate attendant like I'm on the goddamn runway at Fashion Week, okay? I've got my cute plane fit. I've got my new July suitcase. I got my travel accoutrement. And I paid extra money. So I would like to put my bag not only in overhead, but right over my fucking seat, okay? This episode of Taste of Taylor is brought to you by Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, that's Quince, and Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high, high quality items priced within reach. And when I say high quality, I mean like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, love a washable silk top, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I know. You're like, Taylor, but how? I'll tell you how. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings right along to us. The way I love Quince. Because you know your girl. She is bougie. She has fine taste. But my wallet prefers to not pay through the nose. I have sweatpants I wear constantly from Quince. All of their sweaters, I mean all of them. From cotton to cashmere, they have the market cornered. A while back, I got as a gift this like gorgeous neoprene travel bag. And when I was on tour with Stassi, I carried it everywhere. It was fantastic. And then my wife was like, oh my God, I want that bag. So I researched it for Christmas for her. And I was like, oh hell no. It was like so expensive. I said, not within budget. So I kind of just scrapped it. But then recently, Quince came out with an all-day neoprene duffel bag in the most gorgeous colors. So I got it for my wife in the olive for Valentine's Day. She passed out when she saw it. And she's like, I can't believe you spent this much money. And I'm like, I didn't. It's the exact same bag, but for less, thanks to Quince. I'm telling you, fabric for fabric, pocket for pocket, strap for strap, zipper for zipper, it's the exact same bag. Quince is making all my fabulous dreams come true, and my wallet isn't crying because of it. And as if that wasn't enough, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I just love that. So what are you waiting for? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Taylor for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Yeah, you heard that correctly. That's quince.com/Taylor to get free shipping and 365-day returns, because they know they've got the good. quince.com/Taylor. And now back to the podcast. So they call Group A and I'm like, is it time for my red carpet moment? Let's go, Taylor. So we start to go and, oh my God, we can't get through. Why can't we get through? Because everybody is herding like the fucking cows that they are around the gate, but yet it's not their turn to go. Now, and I don't want to be a Karen, but yet sometimes people make you act like a Karen. And this is one of those situations. And it's like, I know I'm being rude, but I'm being rude to people who are being rude. And then my wife is mad at me for being rude. And I'm like, if they didn't start it, I wouldn't have to fucking finish it. Fuck around, find out. And also, FYI, this didn't just happen on the way back. It happened on the way there too. So like, I'm extra. I'm really ready to fucking rumble with Group B and C and D. Move. When I'm in the subpar group, I know my place. I sit off to the side. I'm not in a rush. I'll take a tinkle. Maybe fluff in the corner. Who cares? People got places to be, and I'm not one of them in this moment. Like, I really don't understand the psychology of somebody that wants to stand in an area where people that they know are ahead of them have to get through in order to get to the gate agent. But, like, you're just going to stand there, what? Just so you can be the first person after group A? Loser energy. Loser energy. So Tana starts to move, and she's like, no one's moving. I'm like, they call group A. And she's like, well, maybe these people are group A. I'm like, I don't think they're group A. They're not moving, and group A is moving. And I'm like, I think that they're group B, or God knows. God forbid D. I'm like, no, I think they're group fucking B, and they're doing the thing that group B does. B is for bitch. Group B is for bitch, okay? FYI. And you don't have to. If you're in group B, trust me, I'm in group B all the time. When you're in group B, don't act like what everybody thinks. Don't be a little bitch. Move off to the side. Group B should stand for bad bitch energy, not little bitch energy. So I'm like, hey, they're not moving. And so then there's a couple in front of us, an elderly couple, and they're like, we're group A. And I'm like, you should have been group first people on, but okay, let me help you. I will use you as my human shield to fight all these people and just shame them because the elderly are coming through. Sorry, I'm just here as like a geriatric ally. I volunteered at nursing homes when I was in high school. And one time, I put a woman who I didn't know on the toilet. Nobel Peace Prize. So then I do the thing where I'm like, group A, group A, are you group A? And people, you know what? The other thing too is, though, I know I'm being obnoxious, okay? I'm aware of it. But it's like, I know these people, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people that are staying there are group A. But like, what's the harm in asking? It's like, you know when you're like in a line and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, are you in line? They're like, oh, no, go ahead of me. Like, what's so wrong with asking like, oh, I'm group A. Are you group A? Because if you're not, can I get around you? But I try, you guys. I start off real nice. I really do. Honey gets further than vinegar. My mama taught me that. But I'm just like, and maybe I'm lying to myself. Maybe my energy is so horrific off the bat, which honestly would make sense given how my wife reacts to me in these moments. But like, and I know it's going to cause a fight, and I know she's going to get mad at me. And I know I'm going to embarrass her. And also, I know I'm going to embarrass myself. And we have to get on the plane with these people. But there's something, it's just so egregious. It makes me so mad. It's like, why am I in trouble being a bitch about group A when you're in group B? And literally, you're blocking the way. Anyway, so I'm like, are you group A? And they're like, I don't know. Yes, you... if you don't know you aren't, move aside. So I'm like funneling through and I'm like, excuse me, can we go? And they're like, I think they just called group B. I'm like, they did not call group B. They called group A. Please move aside. It was fucking easier for Moses to part the sea than it was for me to fucking get to the gate when it was my actual time to get to the gate. So then I go up to this guy and I'm like, excuse me, are you group A? They're calling group A. I need to get through with my elderly friends. And he looks at me. He goes, there are no groups. We are all a group. And I was like, no, that's absolutely inaccurate. And then I was like, actually, no, I'm group A. Can you show me your ticket? I mean, I'm showing the ticket. And he was like, he was fucking B. And I was like, you're group B. We're A. I'm sorry, but I have to go through. And then his little son, his little mini dicky doppelganger just like kept standing there. And I was like, excuse me. And he would not move and was like death staring us down. The way I wanted to go into a time machine to when I was 13 again, so I could go back to middle school and find him and bully him. There are no words. So anyway, guys, we are getting through. I'm not joking. A sea of like 20 people deep. This is happening with every single group. No one is budging. Excuse me, group A. What are you? Oh, sorry. Some people were like oblivious, but whatever. Like they let us move. But then people were like fighting us. And then this girl, at the end, she shamed me. She was like, what are you? And I was like, group A. What a fucking loser I am. And she was like, oh, I mean, what's the rush? We're all going on the same plane anyway, aren't we? And it's like, yes, Tina, we are. Congratulations on stating the obvious. But like, if we're all going the same place, if what's the rush, then why are you guys hovering around a line that has not asked for your attendance yet? Like, I don't understand that logic. Like, you're going to make me feel bad for trying to get on the plane when I'm supposed to get on the plane so that your ass is getting on the plane after me. But instead, you're blocking my way, which is prolonging the process that you're so cool. You're too cool for school. I'm so cool. I'm not like regular girls. Like, she's giving this, like, I'm too cool to care energy. But you're not. You're literally, if you're too cool to care, go up against the wall and leave an open path for people that are getting on before you to get through. So then I did the thing that people were like, why do you care? Why do you care? And I'm like, because I paid extra and I want my back over my head. And then Tate was like, stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing our elderly friends. And I was like, honestly, fair. Because, you know, I was acting like a psycho. But did I get my bag over my seat? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. This episode of Taste of Taylor is brought to you by Taylor Farms Chopped Salad Kits. So you know all about this Taste of Taylor. It's delicious. It's fabulous. It's everything of the sort. But wait until you try Taylor Farms Chopped Salad Kits. Let's talk about Taste of Taylor, honey. They are incredible. My wife and I eat them like every single day. If it's not for dinner, it's for lunch. Sometimes we have it twice in one day. And I actually found out from a lot of you guys DMing me that you're also obsessed with Taylor Farms Chopped Salad Kits. And it makes sense because Taylor Farms Chopped Salad Kits deliver the freshest, best tasting salads to eat at home or on the go across North America. So Taylor Farms is a family owned company. We love to see it on a mission to create healthy lives through fresh and delicious food. Taylor Farms Chopped Salad Kits defy boring in every bag with over 30 flavors. Each base is a unique blend of greens and veggies created to perfectly complement the toppings and dressings to deliver the best tasting, flavor-forward salad kits. Now, when I used to hear salad kits, I thought stale, limp, like tasteless. And then I found Taylor Farms Chopped Salad Kits and it changed the game. I know it's in a bag, but the second you open it up, you break that seal, it's like a crunch explosion in your face. Like I am talking, it's giving country club salad, chopped salad. That's a thing too. Not only is it crunchy, but it's chop. And that's really the key to a good salad. And I've actually taught myself how to make some like restaurant salads at home that I love. But my God, first of all, so expensive to get all the ingredients. And second of all, takes forever to chop and prep and do all that stuff. And you don't have to worry about any of that with Taylor Farms. They cover it for you. They really are where convenience meets freshness. The salads are pre-washed, pre-cut, and ready to enjoy. So whether you're a busy professional or a home chef, Taylor Farms salads make eating healthy a breeze. My wife's favorite is actually the sweet kale chop salad kit. And so I like to make that for us with dinner. Sometimes I'll grill up a piece of chicken. I also love to make a chicken Milanese. So like sometimes I'll make it for dinner, make it a little extra. And then the next day I will put a Taylor Farms chop salad atop the chicken Milanese from the night before. It's so delicious. And actually, somebody just DM'd me recently being like, you have to try the dill pickle chop kit. She's like, I know it might sound crazy, but it is literally the best thing on the face of the planet. So that's my next one to try. But like, that's my point too. Like, it's not just me that loves Taylor Farms. Everybody that has tried it is absolutely obsessed for a good reason. They're the best. So what are you waiting for? Purchase Taylor Farms Chopped Salad Kits where you like to shop, available at all major grocery stores. And now back to the podcast. So we got on the plane and everyone hates me. I am no longer the bronzed, easy, breezy, beautiful, chillaxed St. Bart's Bay that I've been for 2 weeks. I'm back to my monstrous self, embarrassing my wife and helping the elderly. So we get on and I bribe Tay with my iPad and an episode of Love is Blind. So she made up with me very quickly. I also got her a cocktail because I was like, you know, I mean, that's a winning combination. And I settled down. Like when I get my way, I shut the fuck up. Like I'm not one of those people that like has to be a Karen and then has to like continue the Karendom. Ooh, I mean, that's a whole different breed. I'm just like in the moment ruining my reputation. So we're on the plane and we're flying home. And honestly, it's like quite an easy flight. So we're watching Love is Blind and all is forgiven. Oh, speaking of Love is Blind, I have something I need to say about Chelsea. I don't think I've actually talked about Love is Blind like at all anywhere. I need to get this off my chest, okay? And yes, I guess spoilers if you haven't watched Love is Blind, but it's really just about Chelsea. And honestly, I think even if you haven't seen it, I can tell the story without completely ruining it for you. Well, it's a little bit of a spoiler, but just with her and her relationship and fuck her. So who cares? Okay, so there's this girl. Her name is Chelsea, okay? Now, Love is Blind is an experiment because I've actually realized that not as many people as I thought watch Love is Blind. Anyway, it's the greatest show ever. Everyone has to watch it. It's fucking great. And I hate dating shows. I am not Bachelor Nation. I do not get it, but like, Love is Blind is built different, baby. It's so good. So everybody meets in the pods. Okay. It's called Pod Life. And basically the experiment is can you get to know and fall in love with somebody without the superficial factors, right? So it's like in the outside world, you like can see what someone looks like, height, weight, age, all these superficial things that we can experience through dating in the real world in Pod Life are taken away. And all you really get to bond over are like conversations, morals, values, life experience, because all you've got is talking. People give things away like where they're from and like, you know, I mean, I'm sure like general age and like, yeah, ultimately what they do. But the number one thing, love is blind, is they cannot see each other. And there was actually one guy on the season who was trying to get this girl he was really interested in to explain what she looked like, because he was like, I'm not going to propose to somebody that I don't know if I'm physically attracted to. So he's like, I like girls that are petite and this, that, and the other. Like, of course, what any like fucking fuckboy would say he likes. And the girl like held her ground and she was like, I am not telling you what I look like. That's not the experiment. And she held her ground and he still proposed to her. And they did not, spoiler, end up getting married, but they did get beyond the pod. So there's that. But I guess we should have realized he was a superficial freak, but she's adorable. So I don't think it's anything about the way that she looks. But anyway, I digress. But that's like the whole fucking point is like, we don't know what you look like. So there was this couple, Chelsea and Dingleberry, because I forgot Dingleberry's name. Okay. So Chelsea is in a love triangle. Okay. With Dingleberry and Dingleberry too. Okay. I can't call them. It's too confusing. So she's in a love triangle with Dingleberry and Mullet. Okay. And her and Mullet are really vibing, but Dingleberry is in another love triangle with this other girl, Jess. And Jess is gorgeous. I mean, literally stunning, like probably the best looking person to ever be on Love is Blind in the history of the show. And that's saying a lot because there's attractive people, but she's gorgeous, okay? And Dingleberry, oh, his name's Jimmy. So Dingleberry, AKA Jimmy doesn't know that Jess is gorgeous. But Chelsea knows because the girls interact with each other and the boys interact with each other, but the guys and the girls can't see each other. But anyway, so I think it got around that like Chelsea and Jess were both like kind of vying for Jimmy, but Jess's only was Jimmy, okay? But then Chelsea had Mullet and Jimmy Dingleberry. And I'm taking a lot of liberties here, okay? And I'm making major conspiracy theories, but in my mind, in my heart of hearts, okay? I think that Chelsea had a thing with Jess. Maybe she thought she was pretty or bitchy or reminded her of a mean girl. I don't really know what it was, but she felt competitive against her for whatever reason. And even though I think Chelsea was more compatible with Mullet, she kind of started to shift her eyes and focus onto Jimmy because I think she knew she was competing with Chelsea and she just kind of wanted to win. And that's fucked up. And karma is a bitch, Chelsea. So Chelsea's in the pods with Jimmy Dingles and she's literally out of the blue like, so do you ever have people tell you you look like a celebrity? And he was like, no, not really. And when I heard that, I was like, cheater, rule breaker, liar. No. And at first I was like, cheater, that's rule breaking. You can't ask him what celebrity he looks like. But then I realized what she was doing. She didn't care what he looked like. This was a ploy, okay? A conniving, manipulative plan to get Jimmy to want her. So she's like, well, everybody always tells me I look like, have you ever heard of Megan Fox? Chelsea, he is a red-blooded American man. Of course he's heard of Megan Fox. The fucking world knows. And she is arguably one of the hottest women on the face of the planet. So she says that, she plants that seed. And Jimmy like gets a Jimmy Dingles boner popped right up in that literal moment. And I could see it shift. He was like really back and forth between two girls, Chelsea and Jess. And it's like, oh my God, Megan Fox. Like, honestly, shame on him for being superficial and an idiot. Because Chelsea was lying, by the way. But also, men are of feeble minds, okay? She took advantage of not his actual brain, but his penis brain. And it's technically not his fault. Like, honestly, as far as I'm concerned, she got everything she asked for in that moment. I was so livid with her. So not only is it cheating, but it's not true, okay? So Chelsea has really pretty like blue eyes, like maybe like blue-green eyes, kind of like Megan Fox, okay? And she also has a very pronounced mouth, like a very like Instagram, she's got like an Instagram filter mouth, but it actually looks real. And she's kind of got like that pretty pointy nose. She has a great face, okay? Like, She looks like she could be distantly related to Megan Fox. I'll give her that, okay? Like, I could see in her world people thinking she looks like Megan Fox. And here's what I mean by that. So she is a flight attendant. And in my mind, she absolutely works for Spirit Airlines. There's absolutely no other airline that she was hired to be a flight attendant on. So on Spirit Airlines, she looks like Megan Fox. This episode of Taste of Taylor is brought to you by June's Journey. So I am a New York City girl at heart, but I do currently live in New Jersey. And yes, I work in Manhattan. So I commute a lot of days a week into the city. Commuting can be so boring. And I'm doing it alone. And like, I'm very, very anxious and I need a way to pass the time. And I'm not really into reading because books. So it's like, what do I do to pass the time? I'll tell you what I do. I do June's Journey. For those of you who don't know, June's Journey is a hidden object mystery mobile game that puts your detective skills to the test. So you get to play as June Parker and investigate beautiful and detailed scenes of the 1920s whilst uncovering the mystery of your sister's, or rather her sister's, murder. With hundreds of mind-teasing puzzles, the next clue is always within reach. And that's what I love about it, too. It never gets boring. It moves on to the next chapter into something new and different and fabulous. Also, visually, oh, I love it. It's in the roaring 20s. You, like, are in New York City parlors. You're on the streets of Paris. And it's also full of mystery, danger, and romance. And oh, I love this feature, too. So you get to customize your very own luxurious estate island. You basically get to, like, decorate your own island estate. And guess what? I'm never going to get to do that in real life, so I might as well get to do it as June Parker. Listen, the real world can be very boring, especially when I'm commuting into the city. So I love nothing more to escape reality and immerse myself in the world of June Parker. It's a fabulous world. So what are you waiting for? Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Again, download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. And now back to the podcast. I'm sure to the regular degular dude who's like in seat 17B, you know he's in a middle seat, who like just came from a fucking fishing competition, who's on his like third Buzz Balls drink. You know those drinks on fucking Spirit? They're the round ones in the balls that taste like literal ass. Yeah. So Mr. Middle-aged, regular degular, drunk off his ass, spent his whole weekend looking at fucking fishes and his own dick. He like looks up and sees her and he's like, you look just like Meg Fox. It's like, yeah, to a hillbilly. She should have said, people think I look like, first of all, she shouldn't have said it. But if she had to say, she should have said, people think I look like Megan Fox. But like, I mean, I guess kind of. Like, if I were to say that, I would be like, yeah, but like her 15th cousin twice removed. You know what I mean? To be like, I think it's my eyes. Like, I would have given an honest, like, okay, you guys listen to Taste of Taylor. I told Andrew Collin that people told me I look like Natalie Portman. And he said, who? You? And I laughed. LOL. Exactly. Like, I look nothing like Natalie Portman. Maybe in my younger years, in my skinniest younger years, there was a moment in a club with perfect lighting, with just enough drunk people, with me at a perfect angle where I kind of sort of maybe look like Natalie Portman in the moment. Also, let's not forget, Taylor Swift also said it too. Maybe I planted that seed. Oh my God, I'm Chelsea. Oh my God, what Chelsea did to Jimmy Dingleberry, I did to Taylor Swift. I made Taylor Swift tell me I look like Natalie Portman. I'm a monster. But no. So, but yeah, Chelsea, I guess you kind of do. She should have known better, okay? So then, long story short, Jimmy picks Megan Fox's doppelganger, aka Chelsea. He sees her and dies. Because, not because she's unattractive, because she fucking lied. She does not look like Megan Fox. Especially when you're not planting that seed of physicality into the brain of a small-minded man. Driven by sex drive and loins. Like, she really made her own bed. It was very hard for me to feel bad for her. And they kind of kept fighting because she would be, like, very insecure about the way that he thought that she looked. Like, did you not like the way that I look? You don't tell me I'm pretty enough? And I'm like, girl, I know why you're insecure, but you only have yourself to blame. It's like, if we came out of the pods, you didn't say that, and he didn't like the way you look, he's a fucking dick. And he's wrong. You're beautiful. But when you set yourself, you put yourself in a fucking Megan Fox pedestal, and then you only have yourself to blame when you're so insecure that you don't think he thinks you're pretty. Well, you set the expectation way off course, and now he's basically trying to regulate it. And also, he kind of like kept trying to say to her, like, he kind of said it. Like, he said he didn't really tell the truth in the pods. He was really delicately dancing around the fact that, like, she kind of lied to him. Like, I think he's actually allowed to be mad that she misrepresented herself. It's false advertising. I think under any other circumstance, he would look like such a superficial dick. But in this particular case, I was like, Chelsea, girl, you made your own bed. And then Jimmy saw a picture of Jess. And then Chelsea was like, you saw a picture of Jess, you've been mean to me ever since. Well, girl, I mean, I was also pissed too because like she robbed us of the opportunity to see Jess and Jimmy together. Honestly, Jess is so much better than Jimmy. So I think she actually dodged a bullet at the end of the day. But like, I really wanted to see that fucking interaction because is love blind? Like Jimmy is average looking. Jess is spectacular. So like, is love blind? Would she continue to be in love with him after the pods? He was also kind of dull as fuck, but like she seemed to think he was fabulous. But like I was, Chelsea ruined that opportunity for me to watch that interaction. And then also sad, Chelsea got to finally meet Mullet, like IRL in person. She was like, oh my God, you're actually more my type. And it's like, yes. And he thinks you're spectacular. And like they vibed, like she ruined this experience for not only the participants, but the viewers as well. So anyway, Tay and I are watching Love is Blind. And then, oh my God, what is that smell? Did someone die? We smell a plane fart. Is there nothing worse in the world than a plane fart? No. There really isn't. And it's wild because even when I get home and I'm farting, okay, and I don't fart on planes because I was raised well by my mother, but everybody gets plane gas. That's just like normal. But people with manners either go into the bathroom to do their business and release the beast or they wait till they get home. And yeah, I got home, I farted. It was a plane fart. Plane farts, I feel like everybody's farts smell the same on a plane. It's just plane fart smell, right? But no matter who they come out of, they are ungodly. And I don't know if it's just like that you're already in this stank, stale air and it just like amplifies the stench. Plane farts should be illegal. We should be able to do a citizen's arrest. But the thing with plane fart is you can never figure out who it's coming from ever because everybody's a suspect, right? We've all been eating and drinking for however many days. We've been 2 weeks here. Honestly, that would make us prime suspects. Like you can never quite pinpoint it. Maybe unless you're like sitting next to the culprit themselves or like directly behind. But for the life of me, I could not figure out this farting assailant, okay? But it was so bad and so frequent. I mean, snakes on a plane ain't got nothing on this. I would have preferred it. It was like contractions with the frequency with which it was coming in. It like started off like every 7 minutes. Every 5 minutes, every 3 minutes, every minute, every minute, every minute, 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 20 seconds, 15, 15, 10, 10, 10. And then it's like, what? Is he going to birth a poo baby? It was honestly so horrific. Like, it was so bad. Tay and I really don't like to be like a fucking elementary school kid and be like, oh, someone fart, like cover my mouth with my sweatshirt. I had to, or else I would have perished on said flight. I had to. It was so bad. And Tay was dying. And then this old lady, oh, the elderly, my best friend, the old woman, she was sitting next to us. She kept like covering her nose and like shaking her head. I mean, it was, we were all going down. It was so bad that it bonded me with the group of girls from the bachelor party that I yelled at because they were group B and I was group A. Okay. I was like, move the fuck out of the way. They literally ended up sitting right in front of us. I was like, oh my God, the shame. These girls are sitting, I just yelled at them and they're sitting directly in front of me. It was absolutely unbelievable. I've really never experienced anything like it. I mean, St. Bart's does rhyme with fart, so there's that. That was the worst joke I've ever told. I really am. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed for myself. I'm embarrassed for all of us listening. From St. Bart's to St. Farts, am I right or am I right? St. Bart's to farts, how far... St. Bart's to farts, how far the mighty have fallen. Oh, nothing's gonna humble you more than that. So, I'm home. I'm puffy. I gained weight because I missed one of my shots. I was really thriving in St. Bart's. I was comfortable walking around in a bathing suit. I was wearing shorts and showing my knees. And now I'm just home, rapidly losing my tan. still trying to scrub off the stench of airplane farts. So to everybody who's had FOMO watching the same parts of it all, don't worry, because I now have FOMO for it too. Anyway, that's it for us this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening. You guys are the absolute best. I love you to bits and pieces. I will say, all joking aside, I really tapped into gratitude when I was away on my 2-week vacation. Really, vacation and travel, very restorative. I needed it more than I even realized. And I was just also thinking about, like, I have a great wife. I have great friends. I have a great life. And I have a great career thanks to you guys. Like, we got to stay in a place for 2 weeks because I get to work remotely. And I get to work remotely because you guys are so fucking awesome. So I can't say it enough. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. It really means the world. I'm not going to cry. But I really am so grateful. And in a moment of reflection and reflecting on all the things that I was so happy about and grateful for and how lucky I am, you guys are top of the list. So just thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being here every week. Thank you for sharing the show with your family and your friends and coworkers, whoever will listen, the homeless man on the corner. I don't care. And I don't want to ask any more of you because you already give me so much. But like, if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, I would love it. It means the world to us podcasters. And that's not just me. That's all podcasters. Rate, review, subscribe. It's like the way you tip your podcasters. And speaking of tips, if you love Taste of Taylor, you're going to love the Taylor Strecker Show. It's a daily show, daily, me behind a paywall, filterless. I'm filterless here, but man, I'm really filterless over there. So I have the daily show, but our St. Bart's behind the scenes video of our honeymoon / turdy moon is out now on our Patreon, patreon.com/TheTaylorStreckerShow. You have to be a VIP to access the video tier. But honestly, it's a really great video and it was really fun to watch. And I felt like I got to like go back and relive it, but like it's informative, it's funny. Go check out that video on Patreon. You guys, that is it for us this week. Have a great rest of your week. Until next week, bye girl, bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.